الحمد لله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، ما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بفرقان حميد، بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله، ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. So imagine it is a nice warm summer morning. The weather is hot, hotter than it is today. The sun is shining bright. Your mother wakes up early in the morning and she decides to make you your favorite breakfast. She's gone down in the kitchen. She's made you some eggs, some paratha, some anjero, some toast, jam, marmalade. She's made everything you enjoy. And the aroma of the wonderful breakfast is emanating through the house. On her way down, she gave you a knock to wake you up, to let you know she's going down to make breakfast. 20, 25 minutes later, breakfast is ready and you are not down. So she calls your name out. She calls your name out and you don't respond. Then she sends your younger brother upstairs to give you a knock to wake you up. He comes, he knocks on the door. You don't respond. He walks into your room, he gives you a shake, you're fast asleep, deep in dreamland, nowhere to be found, you don't respond. Then he goes down and tells your mother comes up to wake you up, she opens the curtains, she touches you, she gives you a shake, but you're out stone cold. She can feel the coldness of your arm traveling into her palm, and her brain tells her, this something is not right, you're too cold. She gives you a shake, she screams, she shouts, your dad comes running in, the rest of your family comes running into the room, only to suspect that you may have breathed your last, you might be dead. They call the ambulance comes, they check you, they take your pulse, they check your vitals, and they pronounce you dead. It seems you have passed away about 4 or 5 hours ago. So then they call the masjid send the undertakers, they do the arrangements of collecting your body. The paperwork starts, phoning the coroners, phoning the bereavement office, phoning the GP, going here, there, everyone's running around. They no longer call you by your name, they now refer to you as the body. The body has been taken to the masjid. The ghusl has not taken place. The body is not washed yet. We are still waiting for the death certificate. We are still waiting for the burial certificate. So everyone's frantically sending messages about you. Eventually, by the time the paperwork comes through, it's 5 p.m. It's too late to now go to the cemetery. So your brother, your father, your uncle, they come to the masjid, they wash your body. You can see it all, you can hear it all, you can feel each and every bit. But the only thing you can't do is respond. Why? Because you're a corpse. You are dead. You are lifeless. Then they lift you and put you into the shroud, and they put you into the masjid refrigerator, left all alone until tomorrow morning, when inshallah they will come back and do your janazah salah. The next morning, they come early, they take you home, place you in the living room, for your mother and your sisters and your family to have one last glimpse. I want you to picture this. I want you to put yourself in that coffin, in that coffin. You are lying in your living room and your family is around you. Some of them are crying, some of them are weeping. Hopefully none of them are celebrating. Because you lived such a good life that they are now missing your presence. Sadly, we see at times because of the character of certain individuals, family are kind of happy in a way. They don't mind. It's about time he's gone. Now we can concentrate on other things. Don't let yourself be that person. Allah protect us all. Then they close you up again and they lift you back into the back of that hearse and they drive you to the Qabristan, to the cemetery. The Imam comes, they read Janazah Salah, they lift you, they carry you to the grave which has been pre-dug. They place you inside, they put the wooden slats over you. And all you can hear is some people shouting, stop it, give another one, pass some mud, right? As we sadly do. Right, lesson here, point, note. These things need to be coordinated. The problem we have sometimes in our burials is every person becomes the chef. Right? Too many cooks spoils the broth. Every single person feels they know what they're doing and everybody... I understand everybody wants to help. But it is important that we allow one person to take charge and initiate and finish the task. So all that murmuring and shouting and eventually they put the boards on, they put the mud on and they have now left. You are all alone in that grave. Darkness prevails. Many years ago in this country and even now in many other countries, right, third world countries especially, but also here, we had some of you in the elder generation might remember, we had something called load shedding. Anybody familiar with that term? Yeah? Power cuts. So what would happen is there's too much excess energy in the plant where the electricity is produced, and the demand is not there. They divert that power to somewhere, so it doesn't trip the power, it doesn't oversurge the circuits. And when that happened in certain areas, would not have electricity for a few hours because the power has been diverted elsewhere to other boroughs or other areas. Now when that started happening, many people did not like the fact that they were out of power for a few hours. People made that known vocally through radio, through newspaper, through social gatherings, and there was an opportunity, a business opportunity for certain companies to invent emergency lighting, power generators, that kind of stuff. And people, the sales went up, they soared, people bought. Why? Because they could not hack the few hours of darkness, the few hours away from electricity, the few hours of inconvenience. Loss of business. Loss of cooking facilities. Whatever it may be. People didn't like that, so those emergency lights were made and they sold quite well. Now the way the emergency light works is it needs to be plugged in when there is power, right? It is constantly powered, so it is charged. So you will not see the effect of that emergency light until the power goes and there's no electricity, and that's when the light will kick in and now you will have power when everybody else is in darkness. I'm drawing an analogy here. Whilst we are alive, whilst we have the power, while we have the energy, we have the health, we have the physical strength, to charge our emergency lights for our akhirah, it is time for us right now to charge them, so when we are in that grave, we won't be all alone in darkness and we will have the nur, the light emanating of our good deeds to enlighten our grave. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went to a janazah and the lahad, the niche in the grave hadn't been dug yet. So the Prophet ﷺ and Sahaba were sitting around and the Prophet ﷺ was hitting a stick on the ground and talking to the Sahaba. And he said, when a person passes away, if it's a good person, what happens is before they die, the angels come if dressed in white, clean presentation, and they have a white shroud, and they're waiting near the deceased. And at the moment when it is time for taking the soul, the angel of death comes, pulls out the soul very quickly, very efficiently, and without holding it for a beat, places it into that shroud. And the soul comes out as if a water droplet comes out of the mouth of a vessel. Easily. And there's nice fragrances with them. They shroud the soul, they put nice fragrances on, and they take that soul, that shroud, up to the heavens. And every heaven they pass by, the gatekeepers will say, "Who have you brought?" And they will say, "We have brought so-and-so, son of so-and-so." And they will all give their du'as and their well wishes, and the soul will be taken up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will say, "Place him with the illiyin, with the elite, with the lofty, the high ranked ones." And then that soul will be brought back to earth and put back into your body whilst you are in your grave. By then the family has done all the bits and pieces. And then the questioning will start. Man rabbuk, ma dinuk? Right? Who is your Lord? Who is your Prophet? What is your religion? And you'll answer them correctly, and windows will be opened, and fragrances of Jannah will emanate into your grave. Whereas on the flip side, an evil person, it will be quite the opposite. The angels that come down will have a foul stench. They will come down instead of nice white silk cloth, they will come with coarse sacks. That soul will be tugged and pulled and thrown into those sacks. They will shroud it, they take it up, and none of the heavens, none of the angels will want to see you. Again, it will be said, so-and-so, so, son of so-and-so. In the end, when they get to Allah, Allah will say, place him with the sijjin, the lowest. And then he will be thrown back into his grave. And then the questions will start. And if the person has been a bad person, then the windows of Jahannam will open. The grave will tighten up so much so that the intestines will, the ribs will go through one another and interlock. Right? And Allah protect us from such an ending. Death is a harsh reality. It's inevitable. It's real. It's happening. And the truth is, alhamdulillah, none of us deny that. We all know that we're going to die one day. Whether you're a prince or a pauper, right? Whether you're a politician, whether you're a king, whether you're a street cleaner, death knows, it does not have any differentiation. Each and every one of us will die. As the Quran tells us, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every single one of us will taste death. Even the atheists don't deny death. That's one thing they believe in too. Right? Alhamdulillah, everybody believes in death. The question is, what are we doing for preparing for that day, for meeting with our Lord? It's absolutely certain we're going. That emergency light, it's no point if you have it and it's not plugged in. Can I ask someone to drop this curtain? Because it's kind of disturbing. Please. JazakAllah. Thank you. So a few hadith that I'd like to present before us, for us to maybe take lesson, take heed, and bring into effect in our lives. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, "Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut." That the intelligent person is one who takes care of his soul and he prepares for what is to come after death. "Wal-ajizu man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna 'ala Allah." And the foolish person is one who allows his nafs, his inner self, to follow his desires and whims and do as he or she pleases, and has hope in Allah. Allah will forgive me. It's fine. Allah is merciful. Allah is the most merciful. Allah will forgive. The mistake there is, you're fooling yourself. You're kidding yourself. You can't expect to go for a job interview without having read the job spec, let alone preparing for the interview. You at least need to know what you are applying for, so you stand a chance in front of the interview panel. If you don't even know what you're going to sit there, and you're expecting that they look at you and think, "Oh, this man needs to feed his family," and they will give you the job, not happening. So we need to put our bit of the work in to get the results. Right? Just as the emergency lights are no good if you haven't charged them. Going back to that analogy, the powerhouse makes the electricity, they disseminate that through transmission lines and it goes through local power stations and then that is distributed to homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the powerhouse of our religion, to transmit that nur, the hubb, the love for Allah to the Sahaba and then to the Tabi'een, and from then on it's come down towards us. And it is primarily, not solely, but primarily the responsibility of the ulama, of the imams, to hold on to that and pass that on to the masses. But at the same time, it's also the responsibility for each and every one of us. Number one, to look after ourselves. Allah says, "Ya ayyuhallazina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." Oh, you who believe, people, save yourself and your families from the fire of hell. So it's not just the imam's responsibility, it's each and every one of us that we need to go out of our way, find that knowledge, find the love for Allah, and get connected there, get onto that power grid, right? Connecting ourselves to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so our lights, inner lights, are charged when we get into that grid. Another analogy comes to mind, if there's a boat where people are traveling, there's an upper deck, a lower deck, and the lower deck guys need some water, and they go upstairs and they throw their rope and bucket over, get some water, and then they need some more, so they go again. And then somebody on the upper deck makes a comment, so if the lower deck guys say, you know what, okay, we don't want to disturb them, we'll just make a hole on our side of the ship and we'll just take water from underneath, what's the big deal? Right? If the upstairs guys don't stop them, what's happening? Everyone's sinking, the whole ship's going down. Right? So the upstairs guys need to help the downstairs guys, right? And the lower deck need to work with the upper deck, not to disturb them too much, work out a system and work together. So for us as well in society, in the community, we need to find systems, implement systems that we can all work together, help one another. Once the Khalifa Harun Rashid, he put out an announcement that if anybody can give me a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which I have not heard, or with a closer transmission chain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will give them a gift. So people came and presented certain hadith. So there was one old woman, she came and she says, I've heard a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, يَهْرُمُ ibn Adam وَيَشِبُّ مِنْهُ إِثْنَان, that the son of Adam gets old and there's two things in the human being that get younger by the day. So by the day, physically we're getting older, but there's two things that get younger within us. الْحِرْسُ عَلَى الْمَالِ وَالْحِرْسُ عَلَى الْعُمَرِ, the greed or the desire to earn more wealth, to be more rich, and the desire to live longer, have a longer age. Harun Rashid, he was happy, he gave her a bag of gold, and she left. As she got to the palace gate, she had a thought. So she says to the doorman, I need to go back, I forgot to say something to the king. So they take her back inside. And he's like, okay, what's up? And she says, you know, the bag of gold you just gave me, thank you, I appreciate it. But I just want to ask, is this just for now because of the hadith I gave you? Or as a very generous and kind king, are you going to stipulate this for me and I'll get a bag of gold as a gift every year from you and from now on? And Khalifa laughs in his mind and he thinks, look at this old lady. She's just given me the hadith. As you get older, you get more greedy for age and you get more greedy for wealth. She's got a bag of gold, that's enough for her. And she's going back and thinking, when will I get more and how long will I live? Will I get this every year? She's got the desire to live on longer. And she left and she didn't live long and she passed away quite soon. But the point is, even though she was a carrier of the hadith, it did not affect her. So when we study the hadith, don't just read it and look at the translation and just say, yep, that makes sense, yep, that sounds nice. Don't leave it as a saying that will just go up on the wall and people will look at it and it looks good. Don't just forward it on WhatsApp so people just say, mashallah, 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 but no one takes effect. Act on it first ourselves. Bring it into our own life first. And then assist our own family, loved ones, close ones, to bring it into their lives. That's the whole point of studying, of reading a hadith. This dunya, this world is like a shadow. Right? It's like a shadow. You cannot catch your shadow. There's no way you will ever catch your shadow. Try it. Is the sun still out after Jummah? Right? You look a bit crazy walking, running up and down the high street. But you can't catch your shadow. But on the flip side, if you walk away from it, your shadow's not going anywhere. It's coming behind you. Right? Likewise, the dunya, your rizq, what is written for us, is written for us. We will get each and every penny before our death comes. We won't lose it. Whether you steal it, whether you work hard for it, whether you con somebody for it, or you get a qualification and earn it with sweat, you're going to get, each and every one of us will get every penny that is written on our account before our death comes. I've got so many more hadith which I've noted down, and I don't have so many minutes. Right? We just said, as time goes on, we want more time. I want some more time here now myself. Khair. I'll pick and just go through a few. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, حُجِبَتِ النَّارِ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَحُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةِ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. Jahannam has been surrounded by things that we as human beings don't necessarily like. Jahannam has been surrounded by things that we desire, our soul desire, and Jannah has been surrounded by things that we don't necessarily like. So sometimes you have to go through hardship, you got to get up for Salah, Fajr, you have to wake up early, you have to do whatever it takes, read the extra Quran, read the extra Salawat of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Being a Friday, we need to step up and ramp up these things so we can charge those emergency lights and get our scales of good deed heavy. On the Day of Judgment, we need to have a good friend surrounding, a good friend circle. The Quran tells us, إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوُوا الْعَذَابُ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابُ. That on the Day of Judgment, there will be people who are followed, and they will say to their followers that, listen, I've got nothing to do with you. They will cut ties. I've got nothing to do with you. You are in your own boat. It's your problem. When they see the fire, when they see the punishment, every man is going to say, listen, I've got my own stuff to worry about. You deal with your problems. Forget people. Even Shaitan will say, listen, I didn't put a gun to your head. Yeah, I whispered. Yes, I gave you ideas. Yes, I showed you how to do it. I showed you where to get the drugs from. I showed you how to do fraud. I showed you how to scam a credit card. I showed you everything, no problem. I gave you the ideas. But listen, I didn't put a gun to your head. It was your choice. You did it. Even Shaitan will say that. Because even Shaitan will be scared that day. And we see that in this world. But let's not even go down there. Right? The point is, don't follow others. Don't follow your desires. Follow what is right. Stay away from what is wrong. Look at the hadith. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Look at what the Quran tells us. And do exactly what has been instructed of us. One hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِعَ. One who breaks ties will not enter Jannah. Ties of kinship, relationship. It is Allah who placed us in the families that He did. It is Allah who gave us our neighbors. It is Allah who gave us our offspring, our siblings. Our job now is to maintain those ties of relationship. It's sad how many times we see people cut ties and don't talk to their own brother or to their own sister over some madness, over silliness. Right? Nothing is too big to break ties for if it's Jannah at stake. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ لَا يَأْمَنْ جَارَهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. A person from whose mischief his or her neighbors are not safe will not enter Jannah. Right? The Prophet also emphasized so much on the rights of neighbors, looking after and being kind and dutiful to your neighbors. The Sahaba thought that, you know what, any second now we're going to be told to give from our inheritance to our neighbors also. Another hadith, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ جَسَدٌ غُضِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. A person or a body that has been nourished with haram will enter Jannah. Again, the importance of earning halal. لا يدخل الجنة قتات. A tale bearer, somebody who, there's three types here. So, قتات is somebody who listens or eavesdrops to somebody else's conversation and goes around and telling others. Right? Then there's نمام, somebody who listens to conversations, everybody knows he's listening, he's part of the meeting, he's part of that discussion, he hears everything and then he goes and conveys it to others where it's not supposed to be spread. And the third one, fattash, somebody who goes around looking for gossip. He goes around looking for gossip just so that he can be out there to see. Right? One hadith tells us, كفى بالمرء كذبا يحدث بكل ما سمع. It is enough for a person to be branded a liar that he goes and says every single thing that he hears. Right? If you hear something, it doesn't mean you need to go and advertise it. Nowadays, sadly, that happens so often on social media, on WhatsApp. Everybody wants to be the first person to break the news. You haven't even verified the news. You don't even know if it's 100% accurate. How many times do you receive a message of somebody who's passed away only to half an hour later be told, sorry, actually he's not passed away, he's just in hospital. Right? It happens. Why? Because somebody was just too eager and just wanted to spread the news. No, you don't need to do that. Even if it's a death in your own family, it doesn't. Every single person doesn't have to be jumping at it to do it. As a family discuss, okay, who's going to be our press officer? Yeah? If you want to call it that. One person talks to the doctor, one same person talks to the coroner, same person talks to the masjid, same person talks to the cemetery. Because if every single person talks to every single department, you're going to confuse everybody. Right? Have a system in place. And I'll finish off with, because we started about death, right, moved on to awareness of our character. The Prophet ﷺ emphasized a lot on our character, right? We talked about neighbors, we talked about earning halal, right? All these hadith, the Prophet ﷺ emphasizes a lot about character. But the last thing I'll finish off with, because we started with death, one day each and every one of us will be breathing our last. Let's do while we are alive what we can to prepare for that meeting with our Lord. Let's do things that after we pass away, people will look at and think, you know what, he's left, or he or she has left a legacy behind, and they will be missing us because of the goodness we were involved in. Get involved in anything you can. Local masjid, local food group, local, so many projects you can get involved in to help better our community. And finally, understand that we're going to die. So when I die, what do I want to happen for me after I pass away? Sadly, many a times we've seen when the person passes away, the sons or the daughters, they're all arguing over the deceased. Dad would have wanted this, no, dad would have wanted that. Where's that perfume? We want to put it on his shroud. Oh, I can't find it. Oh, it's on that shelf. No, he didn't like that perfume. He actually wanted... All these little silly arguments people have. Close off your affairs. Whoever you owe money to, work it out. If you haven't got the money, write it down. So whoever's there behind you, they will look at it and understand what needs to be done. Instruct people to however you want your death and your funeral to be taking place. Right? Have those difficult conversations with your siblings or with your children that they may squander over afterwards. Sit them down and talk to them, listen, one day it's going to happen. Sadly in our community, what happens when we talk about death, even the children will shut the parents up and say, you know, don't talk about that, you'll be okay, you'll be fine, you'll get better. Understand, it's a reality, it's happening, and we just need to prepare for it. Allah grant myself the ability to prepare for my meeting with my Creator. Allah give each and every one of us listening the ability to make our plans, make our amends, and when the time of our death comes, we die with the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah on our lips. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.